Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take 2 for results in 8 hours. That means we should take 8 for results in 2. Yep.
With Dusty Hera.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, 8 o'clock hour, hour number 3, Dusty and Cam in the morning. I'm starting to put together the list of NFL owners and the groups that they hang out at the bar.
Oh, we've gone down a rabbit hole in this one.
Yes, I have the Taking It Deep group, which is the guys that are just going to get ham-skied. Mm-hmm. I have the Early Bird Special, the people who go...
4:30 dinner?
Yeah, they go get the 4:30 dinner, and they're on the way out.
Good.
The Wanting in the Cool group subsect. That is your Jimmy Haslam's, Dean Spanos, Clark Hunts. You know, those types of guys. I have
trying to buy their way into the cool group.
I have Angry Guy at the End of the Bar, which is your, that's Arthur Blank. He's by himself right now, but I'm sure I'll find somebody else. At the end of the bar. And I think Shad Khan may be in his own little, playing the piano.
Where's
at
Jimmy
the lounge.
Jimmy Haslam in this one.
Jimmy Haslam is in the Wanting in the Cool group.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be trying. He'll be near the Taking It Deep
group. Look how much money I have.
He'll be getting ham-skied right next to him, but the cool group is going to go, all right, we're going to be at the big horseshoe table. You can stay
near
the bar.
I want to know your cool group, your top 4 cools.
Jera.
Yeah.
Jim Irsay.
Really? As he flips open his briefcase? Look what I got here.
Cool group always has a party. Always has one of those guys.
Well, somebody's got to be the ringleader.
I've also got Kraft is in that group.
Yes, with his Air Force Ones.
Yeah, and he sarked it.
Yeah.
Here we go. This one.
Win one.
That's old drunkage.
Where's Tom Benson?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten down to him on the list yet. Oh, he's in the Early Bird.
He's
almost dead.
It's not funny, but that's not funny.
But isn't he?
He's not. You're alive.
What
you're
is almost dead? I mean,
we're all almost dead.
Yeah, we're
Dusty
all especially.
I'm not as close as Tom Benson is right now.
Mother Nature is.
Yeah, he's
Father Time.
Tick, tick, tick.
He's in the Early
Bird. He and Jerry Richardson might be at the Early Bird Special.
Mm-hmm.
And that Senior Citizen Special for sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
No,
everybody's there falling. I can't get up.
It's where you can get I like sometimes ordering off the senior menu. You can get Thanksgiving dinner any day of the week.
Reached a high point in your life when you wear Life Alert.
Actually, you know what? Dan Snyder is sitting with Arthur Blank.
Yeah.
They're the angry guys at the end of the bar. That's for sure. I'll make sure we get to all of it. But then I do have the Green Bay Packers ownership is staying at the Super 8 down the street. It's the whole city of Green Bay.
Oh, everybody. Yeah.
It's the whole
it's a community
city.
Community effect.
It's like you got to bring the whole city. It's
a big group.
Yeah, they can't.
Super 8.
They all can't afford to be at.
Everybody with stock gets a room.
Yeah. Going to the Super 8, guys.
Voting member.
Oh, yeah. I'll finish this off later. Wait, who's Carol Davis? It says here that Carol and Mark Davis are the owners of the Raiders.
Is Mark Davis married? Does he have a sister? Potentially? We should know this.
Wow. No, it is his ex, Al Davis's ex-wife.
Okay. Yeah. She's, yeah.
So it's his mom.
Oh, okay.
I played for the coolest owner of all time.
Mark and Mommy.
I'm telling you, I did.
Tom Benson?
No. Georgia Frontier.
Oh yeah.
They probably just invite her back.
She was, rest in peace. She was fantastic. You know, she was a Vegas showgirl. I know she was. I said
I didn't
was.
Know. I didn't. I said they should. They probably invite her back. I didn't know she's.
No, R.I.P. She did. She was fantastic. She loved some Orlando Pace. She'd come out on the practice field.
Really?
I kid you not. She came out on the practice
field. How far did this love go?
It was very out in the open. She was very, very much a fan of Orlando. Orlando Pace, a very large man, 6'7", 330. And we'd come out on the practice field. She gave us a little pep talk. She gave us all leather travel bags when we made the playoffs in 2013. And she came on that first practice. She walks out on the field, and we all huddle around. And she grabs Big O and just brings him right up to the front and starts just hugging him, just give him. And then as she's giving her speech, she's rubbing his stomach and rubbing his back. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone just goes, Marcus, darling.
Didn't you say she had a boutique in the stadium?
Not only did she have a boutique, she had not in the stadium, but in the Rams facility, she had a whole boutique that was just for the wives. You could have your coffee up there. You could have all these special cappuccinos, and there was baby gifts and little floral arrangements. And then she had this huge apartment that was decorated to the nines. There was dust everywhere because nobody never stayed in it. It was incredible. It was just this women's boutique. There were corsets. Cool. There was lacy bras.
Doesn't exist.
And the wives could go up there and shop. And it's like you had to have the special invite, and she would love it up there. She was awesome.
All right.
She was awesome.
Yeah, cool.
She'd be fine now. She'd be in trouble. But it was wonderful. And I've never seen a man of that size blush. But I saw a man blush.
That's beautiful.
He's rubbing his tummy.
Was she just like,
Oh, she loved him. She loves
cuts,
the Big O.
She cuts the check. So, I mean, was he bothered by it? Was Orlando Pace married?
Yes, he was married. Yes.
I'm wondering how that conversation went home. Like, gosh. Yeah.
I don't know if that's not a cougar. That's not a panther. That was up in the, I don't, where we're going to go past that.
Sabretooths.
Exactly right.
Yep. We need more female owners in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm looking down here.
Like one?
Well, you have
Carol Davis.
Amy Adams Strunk.
Is it the
Titans owner?
Yeah, there's a group.
Oh, okay. They should change. Let's talk to her about changing the logo.
About the Titans logo? What are you talking about, Crawford? About the Titans logo?
About the Titans logo.
The flaming thumbtack?
Yes.
That's terrible.
So you have, Carol Davis is technically, though she just sits in the periphery. Amy Adams Strunk, Terry Pegula, the owner of the Bills. Mm. His wife is the co-owner. Virginia Hallis McCaskey, Bears. She's in the early bird group, if you're wondering.
Yeah.
And then the Bolin family. And then Martha Ford, Lions owner.
Mm.
So that's it for female owners. But there's no Georgias.
Yeah, we need more Georgias.
She was special. She was great.
She liked to throw one back?
I don't know. She was always really nice. She's great. Very personable.
You don't know if she drank, though.
I'm sure she got it then. Come on. She's a Vegas showgirl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she did.
Kind of have to.
Okay, well, let's talk about the NFC because this whole bar situation has really got us off track.
We'll revisit this later.
Yeah, we might. The NFC, though, is shaping up. The Seahawks and Rams going to shape what will be a wild ride in the NFC. And don't sleep on one team. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Carson Wentz is done for the year towards ACL. Not good news for the Eagles, obviously. But what does that do to the NFC playoff picture?
Been cheated this year of great quarterback play. Really have. The frustrations. Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, now Carson Wentz. Some of these quarterbacks, that have gone down. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. But that's welcome to the NFL, huh?
Yeah, CJ Beathard. The list just goes on
just
and
goes on.
On
and on and on.
Which, hey, don't look now. Have you noticed Jimmy Garoppolo still unbeaten?
Quietly unbeaten.
2-0. 2-0 is a starter.
That guy's going to get paid.
They are still 0-5 in the division, though.
That's all right.
But the NFC was wide open to begin with. It's more wide open than ever now. You look at the fact that those quarterbacks are out. Carson Wentz is out. What is going to happen with Minnesota? Can they overtake Philly with Nick Foles as a starting quarterback? Minnesota's schedule is still really tough to end the regular season, which means that you can't rule out the Vikings to move down a slot here because they've got they've got Cincy this week, and then they go to Green Bay, and then have the Bears at home to end. So they're probably pretty sure to host a game, but they're only one game up on the Rams, the Saints, and the Panthers. Mm-hmm. You have a Seahawks loss. Folks, it's not out of the realm of possibility to have the Seahawks as a division champ. You know, if Philly loses their final three games, they're in the playoffs, sure. But if Nick Foles loses the final three, Seattle could be in the mix here. Obviously, they have to go through New Orleans, and Atlanta needs to lose because Atlanta has a tiebreaker over them, right? But you have the Giants, Raiders, Cowboys left for the Eagles. Those aren't any cupcakes for them. What is the NFC looking like right now?
I think the ringleader, if everybody thinks it, is now in the driver's seat are the New Orleans Saints. I think that's kind of a few reports I've seen have the Saints have the strongest group with the running game, their defense, and they finish with the Jets. No walk in the park. Mm-hmm. And then they also have the Falcons, which will be a major matchup in that situation. And then they finish with the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I like the Saints at this point in time. I think they own the driver's seat of not only consistency, but they have the best balance. If you're looking at the NFC, this is great because it is so wide open. This week is going to give us a lot of great matchups. It's going to give us the Patriots and the Panthers, but it's also going to give us the Rams and the Seahawks. And everyone else looking too is, Patriots Steelers. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, oh, by the way, this guy named number 12, he wears number 12 for the Green Bay Packers, could be making his debut coming back.
Well, his return, is Aaron Rodgers could be coming back. And right now, the Green Bay Packers are 7-6. If you look at their final three games of the year, they don't have cupcakes. But if they win at Carolina, against the Vikings, and at the Lions, they're sitting there at 10-6. And they can back their way into the playoffs. Now, they have zero margin for error. Absolutely zero.
No, they can't lose.
Margin for error. But if they can knock off those three teams, it would be, if you're thinking about this, the teams ahead of them are Carolina, Minnesota, Detroit. Mm-hmm. They're not going to catch Minnesota. That's for certain. But they're chasing Carolina and they're chasing Detroit, who are ahead of them via tiebreakers. And if the ball falls their way, you could see the Green Bay Packers back their way into the playoffs. And with that, with the healthy quarterback and the fact that Philly's banged up, the Seahawks defense is banged up, and then you have inconsistencies and unknowns in L.A., I have no idea what to think.
Who do you like now, personally, if you're saying a team that can make the run? What are some of the teams, or what are some of the reasons that give you the most confidence going in? Now, I mentioned the Saints because they have Drew Brees and they have two running backs and have a quality defense. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my team that I would say I'd watch out for. Stability at quarterback would be my number one criteria. Do the Minnesota Vikings have proven stability at quarterback? Even if Case Keenum went down, who do you go to? Somebody that's been out when you go Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater, who hasn't played over a year.
Carson Wentz is now gone. It is a Nick Foles show.
Nick Foles is underappreciated for his consistency and what he's done over his career. But do I trust Nick Foles to win playoff games? No.
Jared Goff is now somebody that's never been in the playoffs. He's in his second year. He's part of a great team, and they're playing as good as anybody in the conference. Yep. Do you trust that ability to make a push in the NFL all the way through?
Yeah, can he win you a game? I don't know, but I don't think we should take what happened against
Philly. No.
And take that for a rule of law with him, because of the fact that when you look at that game, they had so many injuries where they lose their left tackle. They were without Robert Woods. I mean, they had some significant injuries in that game that really make a big difference. So
how about the Carolina Panthers? Really well,
but don't you trust quarterbacks that have had experience?
Yeah, I do. I trust quarterbacks that have experience. I trust teams that have a running game and have a good quality defense. That's a lot to ask for, but I need at least two of those three criteria to be be able to be, not just be dominant, but stand out to me. So the quarterbacks have to be number one. And number two, a running game or a defense. Which one are you going to take? Well, I'll take defense.
Yeah. You know what my big concern about New Orleans, going back to them really quickly? You know who their four losses are against?
Quality teams.
Yeah, all four of their good teams that they played. They lost to the Vikings. They lost to the Patriots. They've lost to the Rams. They've lost to the Falcons. And they've only played the Falcons once in their division. Mm-hmm. You know, like.
You feel a little bit of fool's gold with the Saints.
They've had a very favorable schedule. When they beat the Packers, it was without Aaron Rodgers. You know, I have my questions. Mm-hmm. I have my questions about them. They have beaten Carolina twice. But then I sit there and I look at Carolina, and it's much of the same with Carolina's schedule of inconsistencies. They finally get their marquee win of the year. It was this past weekend against the Vikings. You know,
You're looking at this too from the outside, now that Carson Wentz is gone, who do you not want to face in the first round going to their house? Because that's what I think is the most.
Yeah. Where's the toughest place to?
Yeah, where are you going to go? If you're a wild card team and you get the upper hand, all right, so who's going to host? You have to look at that, and that's a major factor. Who do you want to face? Is there a scary team right now that you don't want to play in the NFC? If somebody you go, oh, man, I don't want any part of that going on the road. Welcome to the NFL.
See, that's why this is so fun, is because I think the scariest team that would be on this list would be if Green Bay gets healthy and they can back their way in. That would be the scariest. The scariest team that I could see is Aaron Rodgers, because that would mean Aaron Rodgers is on fire heading into the playoffs.
Can I be honest with this, though? And I will be. I don't disagree with you. That could be very scary. Their defense doesn't intimidate me as much. But from the outside perspective, if you find a team like Seattle that beats the Rams this week and they get in, nobody wants to go to Seattle in the first round.
No.
At all. If nobody wants that.
If they're a division winner, yes. But I just don't. My biggest question is, when you get in the playoffs, the losses of Cliff Avril, Cam Chancellor, and Richard Sherman, I think are insurmountable.
I think their secondary is bad. I mean, Byron Maxwell had the worst cornerback rating this week in the NFL.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I mean, he got slaughtered. And Deshaun Shedd is practicing this week. He could be back. That's a big pickup for Seattle to help. But I think you're right. Their D-line, some of the injuries they have, the offense. Yeah. I mean, some of those things. But history has always showed us that Russell Wilson and December, they've had a lot of success.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, they have. And that wouldn't be a team. And especially, that's why these injuries are so key right now, is if you're looking at Philly without Carson Wentz, yeah, you're feeling a whole lot better about yourselves if you are Seattle. And you're also feeling good about the fact that you'll have to go up against them. You know, the Minnesota Vikings defense, though, that's a juggernaut, man.
Yeah.
Minnesota may be able to get this thing done with Case Keenum because of how well he's played and the fact you have a defense like that.
Great story.
But
they're beatable.
They are. And I'm with you with the Seattle thing, except for as you go on in the playoffs, it's going to get harder and harder.
First round, that's kind of what I was, maybe I've been more specific.
First round, you're right.
Would you want to be heading to the clink if you're anybody facing that with a history of that? Probably not. Not on the road.
Mm-mm.
I mean, parts of that.
Well, I mean, what place do you want to head to, though?
On the road, that you would say as a division winner in the first round?
I mean,
Minnesota wouldn't scare me on the road. It's a dome. Any part that's a dome wouldn't scare me.
Be loud.
Yeah, that's
so you wouldn't be concerned with Minnesota, New Orleans, or Atlanta?
Nope. Wouldn't be.
Despite the fact they're elements, really loud?
I'm telling you, from playing in those games in that time, I've seen the Rams lose, the Saints lose, I've seen Atlanta, we've seen all these teams that are really good, but it is about elements, because the teams that travel, ask why, how hard it was for Miami last year to be able to go to Pittsburgh. Miami was a hot football team. They were good. They went to Pittsburgh and got destroyed. If you can't win in the outside, in the cold, in the playoffs, you will not be a successful team.
So by that, let's eliminate Los Angeles as well. Because L.A., you may as well be playing that thing in a controlled environment.
That's home field advantage a little bit, but it doesn't scare you if you go on the road to go to L.A. It's 75.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you would not be afraid to play in currently four of the six playoff Atmospheres. Philly and Carolina would be the only two because Carolina
that's
does
just
get
one
cold.
Aspect of how I grade it, but it just there's not a lot of history of the scary guy or the scary team. Aaron Rodgers, I'm with you, is the most intimidating because if they find a way to back their way in and maybe they can get a home game somewhere, some way.
There's no way they get a home game.
I know, I'm just saying.
Maybe if it's a wild card,
wild card. But good luck with that
one. If they get their way in, if they back their way in, they would be on the road to the likely the NFC West champ. So that's
that'd be a great matchup. Probably Seattle and Green Bay in the first round.
Seen that one before?
Yes, we have.
But yeah, it's shaping up. I mean, with those teams that are involved right now, and let's not rule out Detroit, who's also 7-6. Like we're all talking about Green Bay. Detroit is technically in front of Detroit due to the tiebreakers right now. And their final three games are against the Bears, Bengals, and Packers, and they get the Packers at home.
Okay. Well, you know why I'll throw out.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what their record is versus winning teams? Their winning wins are versus the Bucks, losers, Bears, losers, Browns, losers, Packers without who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Also, they won versus the Vikings, which is a big win earlier in the year. Okay, then they beat the Cardinals and the Giants.
Well, you basically read the Saints' schedule, except for they lost to Minnesota. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
no running game.
Yeah, I get it.
Hall of Fame quarterback?
I get it, but if you're going to nitpick their schedule, you can nitpick a lot of other teams' schedules.
Yeah, I also have to nitpick the fact that their quarterback has never won a big game, never been in the playoffs, and hasn't won a Super Bowl, unlike somebody that they're down with the Saints doing that.
The point was that they're not out of it.
Yeah.
And they're actually ahead of Green Bay, and they have a chance to do it. The
You're right.
Funny
there's
thing,
always a chance.
There's always a chance.
Always a chance.
But you have nine teams. You have nine teams in the hunt in the NFC.
Fun 3 weeks.
And I think that the two best teams in the NFL are on the other side. They just might be, no. I think possibly the best team in the NFL is on the other side.
Who's that?
Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Look at I think
you.
Pittsburgh
You're
is.
You're admitting it right now? We'll know this week, though.
Yeah, we'll find out. Well, we'll find out a lot this week.
Yeah.
But I think
Home
that.
Home field advantage.
It is on the line in the AFC. I think they're playing like the best team in the league right now.
I agree. They're winning close games with kickers, and that's scary.
If finding a way to do it, and when you know they'll have guys get injured, they still are finding ways to win games, and that's the most important thing in the NFL. Was it Boswell is now what 5 of 5 on go ahead field goals in the final 2 minutes of games this season? I would say that that's pretty good, and that's going to help you win. And they got some really good quality wins, including against Minnesota and Baltimore. I think Baltimore was a good win last week. And they beat the Chiefs when they were actually playing like a good team. Okay, 55305. That is Bridgeport Beers text line. The Portland Trail Blazers lose again, 5 in a row. What happened to Caleb Swanigan? Here's Crawford with SportsCenter.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Portland Trail Blazers drop number 5 in a row to the Warriors. 111-104. Dame said, hop on, boys, let's ride. Tried to will them to a victory. He's so good in his hometown. In Oakland, in front of his home crowd, Damian Lillard is electric. That dunk last night when he went through the lane, just kind of...
I haven't seen that in a while, man. He elevated.
Woo!
Elevate.
He's fun to watch. And what a lot of Blazers fans thought was fun to watch, or who a lot of Blazers fans thought was fun to watch, was Caleb Swanigan early in the year. Remember him?
Yeah.
Remember him?
I do. Yeah, he was a starter.
Yeah, well...
Remember what I was talking about, starter and rotator minutes? Got to put a starter in there, huh?
That's true. He played for the first time... since November 22nd last night. 1 minute.
Okay, so he's a rookie. They're trying to get more time. And Zach Collins, 25 minutes. What did you think of that young man's performance last night?
I actually like Zach Collins. I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, he was efficient from the field, 4 of 9. I mean, yes, sub 50%, but he wasn't afraid to pull the trigger on a 3.
No.
He did a great job rebounding, which, I mean, this was the game to get Zach Collins in for confidence because without Draymond Green, without Zaza Pachulia, I mean, you look at that Golden State roster, and that is a roster built for him to have successes when Jordan Bell is basically the former Oregon Duck who Jordan Bell is doing exactly what I thought he would do in Golden State, which is thrive.
Just a hustle.
And Blazer fans are going to sit there and be like, oh, should have taken him. He is a perfect match for Steve Kerr, that system and that team. Mm-hmm. So pump the brakes on that. Mm-hmm. But when Jordan Bell's the biggest guy on the floor for them, along with Amir Caspi, that's a good matchup for Zach Collins.
You forgot about
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He's not touching Kevin Durant.
Well, yeah, Kevin Durant is the biggest guy on the, we're talking about height-wise.
Yeah.
He's over 7 foot. The 6'9 crap.
Exactly. But he is, I mean, they weren't even getting near each other.
No.
But I thought he looked pretty good on the floor. I thought that we also saw the whitest lineup in NBA history with Collins, Connaughton, and Layman on the floor together.
You see Layman's reverse that he had as he flew through underneath?
Collins?
The guy can finish. No, hey, Jay Layman.
No. Layman's and Connaughton, those two guys can jump.
They can elevate.
They may be the two.
Reminds me of Rex Chapman back in the day.
They may be the two best leapers. Brent Berry. The two best leapers on the team in Connaughton and Layman. But yeah, they got up there.
That'd be a challenge. That'd be a great challenge.
What?
The leapers.
See, yeah. Well, I mean, Dame, obviously, in the dunk contest, he's pretty good. But
yeah,
those two guys are athletic. But back to Caleb Swanigan. Where can you have any rhyme or reason as to what happened to Caleb Swanigan? Because I've been trying to figure it out, and I'm racking my brain. And I don't know, because there's a lot of people and a lot of fans that thought that, hey, we may have something here, and we got the bargain on that guy.
You remember earlier in the year, and I was just asking, because, look, we get to react to the games. We're not the coaches, so certainly I've always wondered.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I know that, but certainly, and I'm not going to break down to the pure analysis side of what's going through Coach Stott's minds. Of the years that I've been here and been able to watch, I understand that he likes to get certain guys in rotation. He likes matchups depending on teams that he's going against. And I think when you have rookies and they fit into that, you probably are getting influenced coming from the top and management saying, we need to see what we have with some of these guys and how we've drafted them. I need to see them on the court so we can evaluate them. And why do you want to evaluate them coming from upper management?
Well, because, you know, you have to know what you have in near the trade deadline.
Thank you.
And the Blazers want to make a move, especially with their trade exception.
You need to get them on film so you can see and have them evaluated so you can use them for trade potential or movement. That's part of the game. That's understandable.
Yeah.
I personally do not understand the inconsistency of how the Blazers manage their starting lineup.
Yeah.
I don't, but that's just me from my outside perspective. And looking at the consistency over and over again, Caleb Swanigan got good minutes for a while when Alfred Kamini was out. And it was working.
Well, when
a little bit.
Noah Vonleh was out, too.
Both of them, too. Vonleh, but Noah was coming off the bench.
Vonleh has a lot to do with his minutes dissipating because he's been playing well.
Now, I know that. But I said that, too, last year when Vonleh suddenly was the starter. He played 10 minutes and he'd never play the rest of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would happen. But this is kind of the be ready mentality that the Blazers have had over the last handful of years with Terry Stotts is you always have to be ready to step in. And it probably is pretty frustrating for Caleb Swanigan.
Yeah. And this is a good text. Where's Shabazz? Not even garbage minutes. Going against small, it doesn't take different advantages. So that's a good question. It's a really good question. I mean, Shabazz has been able to be very good minutes. Another outside shooting threat. It's just, it's amazing to me that you could go from being a very productive player, get 17, 18 minutes, get good points, and then all of a sudden be a no-name in this Blazers rotation.
Yeah.
Just be wiped off the face of the planet like you don't even exist. I don't get that.
Well, here's where Shabazz isn't playing last night. Sean Livingston is 6'7". Klay Thompson is 6'7".
Matchups.
Andre Iguodala is 6'6". Patrick McCaw is 6'7". I mean, those are the guys.
So the Blazers are too short, is what you're saying.
No, I mean, Shabazz Napier, that's just a bad matchup for Shabazz Napier because even the point guards are these monsters with Steve Kerr's lineup. You know, when Quinn Cook came in, the smaller guard who's 6'2", maybe you bring him in then, but Cook only played 10 minutes. So
I believe our backcourt is too small.
Okay. Yeah.
To match up with a lot. Come on. The teams they've played against, Milwaukee. Now you see Golden State. You're going to see the Rockets come to town. Anybody that you match up in this conference right now, tell me where they match up. When you see the teams that the Blazers have been able to beat, they're too small. You just can't get up and down the court. And I like that Dame can do it. Dame is unique talent. Yeah. He is a generational talent. After that, who can else Who can stop and defend?
I think that goes back to the identity, though, that C.J. McCollum said. We talked about this earlier. If you missed it, check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. But he said, we are having an identity crisis right now. And I think that the Blazers do have an effective identity with small guards, and they can be effective with small guards. But it's within the parameters of having a dominant big who can come set screens, and you can have a pick and roll game, or you can have a low post presence, you know, because that is the ultimate stretcher of your defense to where those small guys get more space is when you have a big that people have to respect. It's hard to come by, and the way they're trying to do it is putting Myers Leonard in the starting lineup so you can stretch them out of the key and open up the lane for Dame and CJ. But their identity crisis is real without Nurkic in the lineup, and that should be frightening for Blazer fans because he hasn't been healthy, Nurk, since he got here.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 games last year. He's already hurt this year.
Yeah.
And if you have an identity crisis this bad because of those an injury to him, I'm sorry, you may be onto something there. You need some bulk in that backcourt.
You need bulk, but it's not just Caleb Swanigan bulk. You need guys that are athletic and long and to get up and down the court.
Yeah, that's,
and that's your point.
Front court, yeah. But, yeah, in the backcourt with the guards, yeah. And that's probably why I see Connaughton more.
True, and who's your wing presence? Who's your big physical power forward that you have that can give you something? We were hoping it's Noah Vonleh. And he can give you the rebound. He can give you the defense. But where's the offensive punch you're looking for? I mean, Evan Turner, you're going, okay, is this guy the perimeter guy? I can get you. He's a good defender. It just, we're always, there's not that dominant kind of player that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Other than Dame.
It may have been the frustrating part for Blazer fans too. Last night I was watching Evan Turner. He goes to the rack, gets two really easy ones at the beginning of the game, and then makes one field goal the rest of the way. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's one of those ones where you're like,
the guys go silent.
At the beginning, you're like, okay, hey, right, maybe ET's going to have a game tonight.
Yep.
And then the guys do go silent, but Dame ends up going off and almost willing that team to a win. But horseshoes and hand grenades, dude.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't, it's frustrating right now. And the funny thing is, you look on Twitter, you look at our text line, the Bridgeport Beers text line, 55305. Terry Stotts' name is coming up more and more and more on this.
Does it feel like the team is searching? When you get in that searching mode,
yeah,
it's a little frightening.
Well, and right now, you need to do something because you have two guys that are in their prime that are all-stars. And you have a big who, if he can stay healthy, is going to be entering his prime and could be an all-star center. You have got Dame, CJ, or all-star caliber players, I should say. Dame, CJ, and Nurkic, you need to figure out a way to win with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they get disgruntled and say, we can't do this anymore,
yep,
that's a bad sign. Very bad sign. All right, we get you set for the day on the fan. Plus, I've got a question for you. We still have to go through our ownership groups and where they sit at the bar, which I don't know if we'll have enough time. And I have a question about airplanes for you.
Mm.
8:45 on the fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 55305. Bridgeport Beers text line. We took on the task of figuring out, we're going to have Sam Farmer of the LA Times on, who's going to be calling us live from the NFL owners meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So
tomorrow, 7:30.
Yeah, tomorrow at 7:30.
That is neat.
We took on the task of figuring out where at the hotel bar
we're going to have to ask him.
All of these guys are sitting. Mm-hmm. And I have my list, I think, is pretty set.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, let's go. Criteria.
Okay. I have 9 categories here.
Oh, that's, but bear a lot with categories.
Me. I have the early bird category,
mm-hmm,
the wanting in the cool group,
mm-hmm,
the taking it deep category, which is the cool group, the angry guy at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I have the getting too drunk and tapping out early. And then I have P.F. Chang's, Super 8, Piano Man, and in his hotel room early by himself. In the early bird special.
I can name almost the last three, but go ahead.
Okay.
No, go
ahead. Well, you want to go last three?
No, let's
last.
Just start.
We all know who
who's going to bed early.
Chang's is.
Who's going to bed early? Let's start with that.
Going to bed early, the early bird special. Having dinner at 4 is the Maras, the Rooneys, the Tisch family. Bidwell. So we have the Giants, Steelers, Bidwell is the Cardinals.
Okay.
McCaskey, Bears owner. Richardson, Jerry Richardson, 81 years old, Carolina Panthers owner.
I believe he fell asleep for a moment during the broadcast on Sunday's game against the Vikings.
He takes his teeth out and goes to bed early.
The Ford family, so the Lions owner, she's really old, doesn't like cheerleaders. She's not taking it deep.
Wow.
The Brown family, Bengals ownership.
Yeah.
They just kind of go through the most and shuffle their feet around, so I'm assuming they're not taking it deep.
Yeah.
And then Tom Benson.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Also taking his teeth out.
Very true.
Do you take your teeth out after you eat, right?
Depends on if you're just going to go
depends on what
a,
you're having.
Right, true. If you're just getting with your Vitamix, maybe that's your diet. Oh,
yeah, I've never had dentures.
Yeah. Taking it deep is Jerry Jones.
Leader in the clubhouse.
Robert Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
The Bolin family. Broncos owners. Yeah. And I mean, they've had a lot of stories of people getting after it there. Biscotti. Steve Biscotti, owner of the Ravens.
Huh.
Those big bleached teeth, dark tan. He's a party animal, I think.
I think so. Especially if you're in the nation's near the nation's capital.
Mm-hmm. I'm throwing Bob McNair in this group.
Why is that?
Because he's like a Texas oil guy. There's no way that guy's going to let people drink at the bar and he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you said Steve Biscotti, right? Because
yeah,
when I Google image search him, the first one is him smoking a cigar.
See?
So, yeah.
Boom.
Hair slicked back.
Mm-hmm.
57. Oh, yeah. He parties.
Yeah. And then Jim Irsay, who I think he and Biscotti are. You have Jera and Kraft that are kind of elevating him. And then next level, Irsay and Biscotti are taking it.
Can I tell you, can I throw a caveat in that group? Who's the one that pulls out their credit card first and who's the one that slides back and has to go to the bathroom when the bill comes? I know who's going to the bathroom when the bill comes.
I read in this book called Patriot Reign, Robert Kraft is notoriously cheap.
Holy cheap.
Notoriously cheap.
Yes.
Very cheap. Batman. I'm also throwing Jeffrey Lurie in here. He's kind of got a little party animal background to him.
He had Bradley Cooper in his owner suite during the Rams game.
See, there you go. Angry at the bar. Arthur Blank, Daniel Snyder, Jed York, Woody Johnson, and the Glazer family.
Yeah, most definitely. Angry at the bar. Just death staring everybody at the other end.
Wanting in the cool group, Pegula, Bill's owner. He's just new. Jimmy Haslam, Spanos.
Most definitely.
Clark Hunt, who's like the young Hunt. He's like, hey, guys. Hey, I want to be one of the old timers.
Yeah. My dad gave me everything, but can I be in?
Stan Kroenke and Stephen Ross, Dolphins owner.
Yeah.
Stephen Ross. And then I have the tap out early guys. Ziggy Wolf and Amy Adams Strunk.
Oh, that's too bad.
Because Bud Adams was an old timer and he would have been in the Taking It Deep group because he used to double finger flip off the crowd.
Everything.
I think she's got a little party animal in her. Mark Davis is at PF Chang's, didn't get the memo. The Super 8 is the Packer fans. Because
no owners. It's a group.
The whole city, man. Shad Khan's in the lounge playing the piano. Yeah. Piano.
Piano.
Because his mustache is too cool not to. And then Paul Allen sitting in his room.
Do you think he's the one that has no friends of all the owners?
No, I think he has friends.
Oh, he has friends.
He's just concocting a way to make another $1 billion.
Sure. Of that group, which group do you want to be in?
Taking it deep.
You have to. Taking it deep.
Taking it deep.
I kind of want to be in the early bird special. I do. Feeling like maybe I convince them to let me be on their board and
their team. You can maybe buddy up and become a favorite.
Exactly.
Maybe Tom
Sidle
Benson
up
will,
on, friend him up.
Tom Benson will gift the team to you instead of his spoiled kids.
Yes. Or his 18th wife.
Yeah. I have an airplane question that I need you to ask you tomorrow as well.
Airplanes.
This is a
don't like one. Flying.
All right, up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, during Sprague, 3 to 7. It's Primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday right here on 1080 The Fan.
Win one.